It is 7:45 on a holiday weekend. Denny Long back with Ted Farrell with another Wine Chat. Ted Farrell from Haskell's fame. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning, Denny. How are you on this just gorgeous spring day?
You know, I feel doggone good, and I hope you do too. It's going to be a nice day, and I think we're going to be pretty clear for a pretty nice Easter Sunday.
I think you're right, and it looks like the weather will be just perfect for all those folks to maybe even do an outside or an outdoor Easter egg hunt, you know, hide those eggs around the neighborhood or whatever, because it does look like it's going to be just ducky. And I think we're due finally, because it's been such an odd 2 or 3 months of hot days. You know, we got up to 70s, and then the next day it would snow. And I think we've earned it, that's for sure.
Well, as far as an Easter egg hunt, with the cost of eggs, there'll just be a half a dozen hidden out there today, so tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it'd be cheaper to hide gold nuggets around your neighborhood than it would be the eggs right now. That is for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's on the tap of our conversation today?
Well, since it is Easter, you know, we talk about what to serve and what to have with that. And traditionally, in our family, we always serve lamb. Lamb is such a wonderful meat, and it's also kind of often forgotten about. You know, people think about big red meats and steaks, or, you know, some poultry, chicken, and it's forgotten because, you know, lamb does have a wee bit of gaminess to it. There's a little bit of that flavoration to it because just the nature of the meat. But the interesting thing about lamb, you know, it's a seasonal thing right now as far as, you know, lamb is the younger of the sheeps that are harvested right now. And so they're quite delicious. They're softer, a little bit approachable. But, you know, leave it to the French to have a specific kind of lamb that's very, very special. And it's called the agneau de lait, which means the lamb that actually is with milk. And with that is, they grow this lamb in a special area, and it's an area in the wine country called Pouillet. It's a district on the Médoc. And it's a very famous, famous region. Now, they're famous for their lamb because in this particular area of the Médoc, there's these estuaries and these salty marshes, so to speak, that the lambs graze in. So they get a very, very unique flavoration to it. And so it's a wonderful dish, whether you roast it with lots of garlic and herb, which I'll probably be doing to my lamb, that's for sure. But the interesting thing about that is that area of Pouillet is one of the most, it's almost the Napa Valley, per se, of the French wine industry. There are the three of the five first growths that are actually headquartered right in the town of Pouillet, and that's Chateau Lafite Rothschild, Chateau Mouton Rothschild, and then also Chateau Latour are right in there. So there's something extra special about those that dirt and that soil in and around Pouillet. Now, the interesting thing about Pouillet, when we talk about those first growths, way back, you know, the wine industry in Bordeaux is incredibly old. You know, like most of the regions in France, they were founded really by the Romans. The Romans came in there, they, you know, set up shop, and the first thing they do, they always bring their vines. You know, the Roman legions needed something to drink, so they'd set it up. Now, in the area of Bordeaux, you kind of have what they call, there's the right bank, and then there's the left bank. From the right bank are areas like Dennemillion, dominated mostly by Merlot. And then you have the west bank, which is the Médoc, and it's this large peninsula that juts out into the Atlantic Ocean, where you have, it's generally dominated by Cabernet. So there's some exceptions, but it's a rule of thumb. But way back, you know, they've had this wonderful tradition. And in about the 1600s, it became very fashionable to set up shop. These Parisians and these nobles would go to the Médoc. You know, it's a great place this summer. It's a little bit cooler since it's right by the ocean. And they'd set up these fantastic estates and these lovely chateaus. It became very, very tomy during that time to do that. Well, later on in about 1855, They decided to have the World's Fair in Paris. So it was a big Parisian exposition. One thing they wanted to do was highlight their agricultural products, you know, the cheeses and all this stuff that they do. But most importantly, they wanted to highlight their wines. And so they developed a classification system which ranked all these wines from the Bordeaux region. So, you know, they have several different growths, but then the first growths were the ones that were considered all the best wines. And usually they did it basically on price. I mean, quite frankly, you know, the quality's there, but the reason why they're fetching such high prices is because the quality was so good. And in those wines, where there was La Mission Haut-Brion, you had Haut-Brion, Mouton, Lafite, etc. Well, Mouton actually didn't get it because there was a little bit of politic where it became a second growth. And so it was, you know, always kind of considered a snub because at that time in 1855, the Englishman actually owned the property. So the French didn't like that, so they gave it a second growth. Well, eventually it fell into the hands of the Rothschild family, in which they elevated it. He did a great thing where he goes, first growth, I am not, but a second growth, I'll never be. I am Mouton. He changed that around because with a little finagling, he actually got Mouton elevated back in about 1973, if I'm not mistaken, to a first growth status. But these wines, you know, are some of the marquee wines across the world. They're very, very expensive. They're very wonderfully made. But, you know, the great thing about Bordeaux is that there's so many other options that you can do and purchase. But these first growth wines, fantastic wines, very big. But again, on the West Bank, they're kind of dominated by Cabernet, a little bit fuller, a little richer. But generally speaking, they're a blend. So the Cabernet is about 85%. And then they blend in a little bit of Merlot, they blend in a little bit of Petit Verdot, et cetera, to get in there. The reason being is because old winemaking techniques, maybe one year your Cabernet grape was a little bit too austere and you needed some Merlot to soften it. So it was a kind of a technique to maintain those qualities, which then eventually became a great way of blending, kind of became the rule of thumb for people to make their wine as far as those blendings. So there's all kinds of Bordeaux. It's, believe it or not, the Bordeaux region produces more wine than the entire country of Germany. So there's all kinds of options. So when we're talking about Lafites and Moutons and things like that, I mean, we're talking marquee wines, but also you're talking about marquee pricing, where most of these wines now are in the $700 to $1,100 bottle, you know, per bottle. Very expensive, very tony, you know, collector wines. But, you know, even though Easter is up here, you probably don't want to serve those tomorrow because that's a little bit too expensive. So there's great values in and around Bordeaux. There's one called Chateau Romfort. Wonderful wine. Now, that has a little bit more Merlot blended into it. But, you know, for $15, $16, a great way to, you know, have something on your table for tomorrow, your Easter celebration, that doesn't break the bank and quite good. There's also Chateau de Grave, which means the house from the rocks. Another one that's in the $15 range where you can get that expression of Bordeaux, truly enjoy it, and not really break the bank. And that's if you're going to do lamb and that type of thing. The other thing that people love to do for the Easter holiday is ham. Ham is such a wonderful, wonderful dish. You know, it goes well, and it kind of lasts so long. You know, you get a big side of ham and you have it around the house for a couple, 4 or 5 days. It's just terrific whether you're doing sandwiches, but you do it. I have an employee who tells me that what he does is when he roasts his ham, he bastes it with German wine. So he pours a little of that German wine on it every so often, and it is just a hit with the family. People just, they actually scarf it up at the end. It's one of the only things at the end of their meal that it's completely gone. People just devour it. And that's using German wines. Now, German wines are dominated, or generally speaking, always made with the Riesling grape. And again, the German wines have a wonderful history of celebrating wines, making wines. Again, rich, rich history, where it's a little bit different, though, over there, because they have different distinctions and variations of that Riesling grape of when they harvested it. So generally speaking, you know, there's a little town. They name it the wines after the town in which they come from, like Berncastle. There's a little town, little village called Berncastle, and inside there's a vineyard called the Doctor. The reason why that's the Doctor, there in about the 14th century, the Prince of Berncastle fell ill, and the medical procedures back then were so terrible, they were probably hanging him by his thumbs, they were leeching him and bleaching him, doing all these horrible things. Finally, this winemaker gave him a cask of wine from his vineyard, and he was cured instantly. So that vineyard then became Berncastle Doctor. So it's a doctor, you know, that fixed the prince. And so they went on with all these rich traditions like that. But on the German wine labels, they talk about the different variations of when they harvest it. The first, and generally speaking, the driest, is Cabernet. And the old story of that is the wine was so good that the winemaker wanted to put it in his cabinet not really take it out for sale, but that's just the distinction. So it's the very first harvested. Secondly, you have Auslese, which does kind of translate as a late harvest. They're generally harvested about 7 days after ripeness, giving depending on however the winemaker wants to do it. Then there's Auslese, which gets a little bit sweeter. Then there's other variations of Baron Auslese, Trockenbaron Auslese, and then finally ice wine. But, you know, if you're doing these wines for your Easter dinner, you probably want something in the Cabernet or Auslese. Now, the interesting thing here, the German wine markets are feeling a little bit of a pseudo-depression in the United States. They've really fallen out of flavor. Years and years ago, we would do about 3,000 or 4,000 cases easily of direct importing of German wines into this. But I hate to say, I think a lot of the people who knew the wines have met their demise as far as the older generation has passed away, who know what a Bernkasteler is, who knows what a Dornfelder is. They knew those towns because that's where their family was from. Nowadays, what people really want when it comes to German wine is just, do they want it as a sweet wine or a dry wine? So we have this wonderful wine called the Carl Sittmann wine. Very inexpensive, about $10. So if you're doing some ham for that holiday meal, it's a great little one to put on there. It's easy. It's approachable. There's also the Lucen Riesling. That's about $14 a bottle because we have moved away our taste where people aren't as interested in those estate-grown German wines. And the estate is very similar to a Bordeaux estate. People are just wanting Riesling. But, you know, Riesling has a little bit of a funk to it because people think it's so sweet, it's over-the-top syrupy sweet, but the interesting thing about it, they're marvelous wines. They finish off with crisp acidity. So you do get a little sweetness on your palate, but once you swallow it away, it's nice, crisp, and fresh. So again, with all those flavors on hand, whether it's a honey glaze, and then you get a little bit of the smoke, you get a little bit of the salt, a Riesling really is a match made in heaven with that Easter ham that you might have.
Well, that sounds mighty good. Always great ideas on the show, Ted. And tell folks where we can get some questions answered and find some good value and good stuff.
Well, you are correct, Danny, and we'll be able to take care of you. And you know, if you are fishing around for some of those high-end wines that might not make our sale, today is a great day to do it because our progressive sale, there's 19% off wines that aren't on sale. So if you want to stock up on that Bordeaux that you had your eye on for years, you can take 19% off that. You could also swing in, pick up one of the 6 for 60. This is the last weekend for that. But it's a great time to stock up. And we have Haskell's all throughout the metro area to take care of any of your holiday needs. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. Haskell's in Minnetonka across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in downtown, right in Highland Village. Haskell's in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's down right off 35 at Faribault. If you're going out to the lake today, you can stop by Haskell's in downtown Excelsior. There's also a Haskell's White Bear Lake, Stillwater, Plymouth. And if you're heading up north, swing by our super cellar at Haskell's Maple Grove. It's a wonderful sight to see. And if you can't do any of that, sit down and go to Haskell's.com 24/7. Bruise the wines of the world at your home, at your fingertips, and we'll take care of you. We can even get that delivered to you.
Fantastic, Ted. Thank you. Happy Easter to you, your family, and all the Haskell's family members as well. And let's talk again next week. Yeah, it is next week, right, already.
Perfect. I look forward to that, Denny.
Thanks so much, Ted. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, get those lawn and garden questions ready. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney will be helping you out answering those questions next hour. Right now, we're leading toward a high of 56 degrees. Right now in the Twin Cities, holding at 35.